superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's do this.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on. Johnson.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
JJ back to pass. Fires end zone. Roman Wilson. Touchdown. Jacquez Moore.
An incredibly disappointing loss.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Saints punter Lou Headley. Still to come. Voice of Prime Video Thursday Night Football, Al Michaels. Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air here in Los Angeles, California, on the Roku channel, this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey, and there's our podcast version. You can't miss us, is basically what we're saying. We had a great chat with Andy Reid in hour number one. Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware is going to be joining us in hour number three. We just spoke to Lou Headley, the 30-year-old rookie punter from Australia for the New Orleans Saints, because we cover all 53 men on every roster of the National Football League. And joining us here in studio to kick off hour number three, we are always thrilled to have the man, the myth, the legend himself, the great voice of football, and so much more, Al Michaels from Prime Video at present. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Best dad ever.
Yes, sir.
Can I get one that says best granddad ever?
I can absolutely work on that for you. Can we get that in the shop right now?
There you go.
Sure.
Work on that?
Next time I'm here.
Next time you're here. Good to see you, Al.
Good to see you, too.
That's just great.
Here we go again, huh?
Here we go again. But this feels just, I don't know what it feels. It just feels special in the fact that I've never seen a conference like the AFC, a group of quarterbacks currently like the AFC. And despite the Chiefs having Mahomes, and we just spoke with Andy Reid, it does feel potentially wide open. I'm wondering how you feel about this.
It does, now. But I think we keep forgetting how wide open the NFL has become.
Yes.
Through the years. You and I both know, and it's great because the one thing about the NFL, there are always 100 or more questions to be answered before the season begins. And we both know, in talking with people who are outside our business, we get the same questions. What about Aaron Rodgers with the Jets? How will they do? How will Jordan Love do with Green Bay? Who do you think will go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
How will the Rams do? I mean, no matter where you go and you talk to people, they always have questions. And that's the thing about the NFL, because as you and I have both discussed over the years, the NFL has become a 365-day event.
Yes.
People talk about it all year long. Talk about it all through the baseball season. Talk about it all through every season. And, of course, you know better than anybody what the combine has become. We know what the draft has become, free agency. And yet there's always something in the news. So the NFL, it stands by itself when it comes to a 365-7, 24-7
yes.
operation.
No doubt about it. What was the first NFL game you ever called, Al? Which one was
Believe
that?
It or not, in 1971. 71, a million years ago.
Okay.
So what happened was I was doing the Cincinnati Reds. And at that time, NBC had the rights to both the baseball playoffs and the World Series. So Kurt Gowdy, who was the number one NFL announcer, was doing the World Series and one of the playoff events. And Jim Simpson, who was the number two announcer, he was doing the other league championship series. So they had to move announcers, like Jay Randolph became the number one guy, and they hired me to do a point-to-point telecast. I think the date might have been October 3rd, 1971, I did Buffalo at Minnesota as a it only went to Buffalo. In those years, you had the blackout rule, so the game wasn't even televised in Minnesota at the old Metropolitan Stadium.
So you were just talking to Buffalo,
the
basically?
The game only went, not only did it go only to Buffalo,
yes,
but the NBC station in Buffalo was carrying the baseball. So this was on a UHF station.
Oh, my gosh.
And I did it with Johnny Morris, who was still, you'll still see his name in the Chicago Bears record book among great receivers. He holds a number of records. So Johnny and I did that game. Among the players in that game, O.J. Simpson, Al Cowlings. Hello.
Wow.
Yes. Think about that. Bud Grant. I think Norm Snead may have been the quarterback for Minnesota at that time.
Good memory, Al. That's correct. The game was 19-0.
19-0. Yeah, it wasn't a very good. There you go. Right. Was it
October 3rd? October 3rd, 71.
71. Yeah. So that was my first ever NFL game. And then a couple of weeks later, I did Buffalo at the Jets. You can look that up maybe on the 17th. Buffalo at the All Jets.
Right. Stand by.
Again, blacked out in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
UHF in Buffalo. And Namath is, I think, you know, Joe had to be playing in that game.
Yeah. Unless 1971.
He was hurt. Yeah.
From back in that day.
Right.
And so OJ and Al Cowling, so nobody from the Stern Show called in the middle of that game to prank.
There was no Baba Booey to you all.
That just happened in the mid-90s when you got back
1994,
together.
Yeah, in June. Chris, am I right about that? October 17th of... 71?
Yeah, October 17th, Buffalo and the Jets.
And the Jets.
The Juice had a touchdown. Let's see. The Jets starts. No, Bob Davis played quarterback for the Jets.
Okay, so I think Joe must have, he was hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just the beginning of the 54-year-old darkness retreat. That might actually end.
Emerson Boozer had 116 yards.
I mean, that's as good as it come, man. But of course. But did you know that you had you had a special, obviously you could call anything and anywhere at any time, but did you know that there was a special relationship that you had with football at that point in time?
Well, I loved all sports.
Right.
And remember, my career was in the early years built around baseball.
Yeah.
So here I was as a kid getting the Cincinnati Reds job. So I'm doing the big red machine with Rose, Bench, Perez. Morgan would come over the next year. Griffey Sr. is a rookie in 73.
Sparky's
the manager. I mean, that was, you know, I did the Reds for 3 years, and, you know, I've talked about this a number of times, but I knew I had one of the great teams in the history of baseball.
Right.
And they were. And yet I had to leave after 3 years because the San Francisco Giants tripled my salary. Rich, we all know, follow the money, right? When it's three times what you're getting paid,
sure,
you've got to follow the money. So off I go to San Francisco.
And so when did you get a regular NFL?
So what happened, it's interesting. So those are the only two games I did when I was with the Reds.
Yeah.
And then when I went, one of the reasons I went to do the Giants is that they were going to give me Sundays off, even in the baseball season, if I could do the NFL. And NBC hired me to do about 7 or 8 games that year, regional games in 74. I left there after 74. I did 1 year at CBS.
Yeah.
I had a ton of partners through the years, including I started out with Wayne Walker, the former Lion linebacker. I had Johnny Unitas for a game.
What was that like?
That was, Chris, you want to look this up? This is 75, New Orleans at Oakland, middle of the season.
I love this.
Johnny Unitas says, this is when I met. So we're living in Menlo Park across the bay from Oakland.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing the Giants in those years. And so I went over to practice on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
And who did I meet for the first time? John Madden. John was coaching the Raiders. And after practice, I went into John's office. And he was a big baseball fan, and he was excited to talk about the Giants because he used to listen to all the Giants games, loved the Giants.
This is the first time you ever
met John Madden. First, I'm sitting in John Madden's office. This is, Chris, 1975?
1975, yep.
Okay.
November 9th was the game.
November, okay. So it's the middle of the season. I'm in John's office. Little, you know, would I know that we'd become, you know, partners for 7 years, a quarter of a century later. And one of the things we talked about was that John, he didn't know how much longer he wanted to coach because he hated flying for starters.
Yeah.
And his dream at that point, and we talked about this, was to get an RV or a camper and travel around the country. And we talked about Steinbeck's travels with Charlie. So I'm not sure John necessarily wanted to travel with a dog, but John wanted to get into a camper and travel around the country, which eventually he would do in a bus. And, you know, did all of those years, because John never got on a plane after 1979. Left the Raiders, went to CBS, and then just feared flying to the extent that John told me the last time he was on a flight, he was doing a game for CBS in Tampa, and he's living in the Bay Area, and there's a stopover in Houston, and he got so panicked on the Tampa to Houston leg, he said, he closed his eyes, if we land safely, I'm getting off this plane and never getting on another plane. So what did he do? He got off the plane, his luggage continued on to Oakland or San Francisco, and he went to the train station, and that was the last time John got on a plane. It did him in. It really did. You know, with John, it was probably more claustrophobia than anything, because we always had a hard time with John, even in an elevator.
Is that right?
Yeah, because John would always have to have a room on a very low floor so he could either walk up or have somebody with him. But, you know, we had to basically, you know, people at the end of a game, if you had an elevator from the press box down to wherever we're going,
jammed.
He would have to have it cleared. And people thought, well, you know, who is this guy? You know, but it was just a case of he just couldn't be in there with anybody he didn't know. And he couldn't be in there with any more than two or three people.
So Johnny Unitas was your broadcast partner?
Yeah, I was so excited.
For that game you're talking about?
Yes, he was, yeah.
So, wait a minute. So you're calling a game with Johnny Unitas and met John Madden for the first time on that broadcast?
Correct. Think about that. I've been everywhere. I'm like, 48-10,
a blowout.
It was a terrible. Stabler at quarterback.
Ken Stabler had a couple of touchdowns. Archie Manning had a rough day.
Archie Manning had a terrible day.
6 of 15, three picks.
The Arch.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know.
And so, Unitas, was he good at it, or he didn't want to do it?
He tried hard, but this was not his deal. But I had Wayne Walker. Yeah. I had a guy named Tim Van Gelder. Believe it or not, former quarterback. Briefly for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
Then as the year progressed, so I ended the year for like the last five or six games that year with Hank Stram.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was crazy because
Did you get a word in?
He was a talker.
Hank was a talker. And then Hank and I did a game in Kansas City.
Oh, my goodness.
So he had been fired the year before by the Chiefs, and now he's gonna come back. This is a front page story on the Kansas City Star. Hank Stram is coming back. It was wild, but Paul Wiggin was the coach who succeeded him, and I knew Paul because when he was at Stanford, he lived in my neighborhood. So now it's the day before the game. It's a Sunday game. I think they're playing Detroit. You can look that up too.
What year was this?
You had no idea you'd be working today.
Is it 75? The middle of 75 season, Detroit at Kansas City?
Okay.
Which is a game on Thursday night.
Yes, that's right.
So it's another iteration. So,
yeah, November 23rd, so right before Thanksgiving.
There you go. Okay, so Hank is coming back to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Saturday, so want to go meet with the coach. Hank's not going to go meet with the coach.
He will not.
He's not going to meet. No, I'm going to go to Arrowhead, where the office was, still is, and meet with Paul Wiggin. And Hank stayed back. And now I come back and get him, and we're going to have dinner at Plaza 3 across the street. And we're staying at the Alameda Plaza, great restaurant across the street. And I pick him up, and I come back from the meeting. And he doesn't ask me what Paul said. All he says is, where's the Tiffany lamp? Did he keep the Tiffany? What did he do with the couch? He wanted to know how Wiggin had reconstructed Hank's office. And that's all he cared about. And then Hank and I danced that dance toward the end of the season. And the last game we did, you can look it up, is Rams at New Orleans at the end of the year that year?
Look at that, Chris. Yes. Chris, keep going. Look at Google December. Machine. It's thank goodness our internet connection's working.
Did they play each other twice?
No.
December 7th.
Rams at Kansas City, right? Rams at New Orleans.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm with Stram, and we're going to have dinner. We're staying at the Royal Sonesta, and we're going to have dinner Commander's Palace or someplace.
Yeah.
And Hank calls me at about 6 o'clock before we go to dinner on Saturday night. Says, hey, I can't go. John Meekum wants to meet with me. Mm-hmm. So Meekum owned the team.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what this was about, right? Meekum wanted him to coach the Saints. The Saints were having a terrible year.
2-10.
Right? At that point.
Yeah.
Or they were whatever they were at that point. So what happens is the next morning, Hank and I are going to have breakfast at like 8:30, and then the game is at noon, I believe. So I get my phone rings at 6:30. Hank, meet me downstairs. Hank, I just woke. I got to talk to you. So we go to breakfast. You know, I put some sweat clothes on, go downstairs, and Hank says, you think I have a future in this business? I said, Hank, let's cut to the chase. I know exactly what you're asking me. Do you have a future in this business? You know you do, but you're a coach at heart. So take the job. And he did, and he wound up coaching the Saints what the next year, and then came back into broadcasting, had a great broadcasting career.
And then eventually became a Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinee.
Right.
Al Michaels here on the Rich Eisen Show. I got to ask you this one, too, because just the stories that I've heard you tell before, and I'm assuming I think you can tell this one as well. You called games with Earl Weaver, right?
Oh, yeah.
On baseball.
Baseball, 2 years.
You got a good one for me on this front?
A good one for you? I got a lot of good ones.
Okay.
nobody could destroy the language more than Earl, right? But the first couple of games we worked with Earl.
Yes.
I mean, Earl was, you know, the Bantam Rooster, right? And he got thrown out of 100 games. So Earl, you know what Earl was as a manager. But we're working with him, and I'm working with Howard Cosell and Earl. Earl won't move. I mean, his head is like this because he's got the headset. And it took Howard and me a couple of games to understand Earl was afraid to move his head because the headset would come off if he did.
Mm-hmm.
Earl, this is fine. The headset moves with your mouth. You have to understand that. But what Earl and I, we were doing the game alone in Kansas City in 83 or 84. And we're in the Monday Night Baseball. We're in the car going to the airport on Tuesday morning. And Earl's got a little, like, ledger book. And I see him scratching out some numbers. And I think he's doing stats. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm adding in last night's fee to my net worth. I said, what are you doing? He said, if I never get to work again, this is how much money I will have. And figuring out, you know, how long I can live and have not run out of money. So Earl was like a human actuarial table, sitting there in the car, figuring out what his net worth was every Tuesday morning.
He had a number.
He had a number.
His actual net worth.
Divided by, right.
After Monday Night Football,
you're going to the airport. Here's my fee. I'm adding it to my net worth, divided by how long I think I'm going to live.
So you were in a booth with Earl Weaver and Howard Cosell.
Right. So, Rich, we're doing the. I don't know if we have to go to a commercial.
No, go ahead. We got time.
We're doing the 1983 World Series.
Yeah.
Me, Earl, who had just retired, would come back eventually.
Yeah.
And now Joe Altobelli takes over, and they win the World Series.
That's right. Wasn't he a rookie?
Against Philadelphia. I think it might have been his second year.
Right. Okay.
It's Baltimore against Philadelphia. So the first game of that series is in Baltimore. And it's either Wednesday, whatever night, a midweek night.
Mm-hmm.
Two things happened that night. Number one, I'm out in the hallway behind the booth, half an hour before the game, and I meet Bob Costas for the first time. And Bob is at NBC, and, you know, his career was ascending, and, hey, you know, a couple of young guys, hey, it's great, good to see you, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Cosell walks by. And Costas sees Cosell, who's coming up from behind me, and goes, Howard, he says, just want to say hello. I'm Bob Costas with NBC. And Cosell says, the cigar, I know who you are. You're the child who rhapsodizes about the infield fly rule. I'm sure you'll have a fine career. Right?
Wow.
That was Cosell's initial interaction with Bob Costas.
On the first night you met Bob.
The first night. I met him, and then Howard walks by.
Wow.
I mean, it's within 3 minutes of each other. Okay? So now it's 83, and Ronald Reagan's in the White House,
and
the president is coming to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Cosell is going to interview him in the fifth inning. So in the old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, you'd walk in the door and there'd be a landing, and then you go down about three steps and the broadcast position was there. So Cosell in the fifth inning, he goes up the steps. They open up the door for Reagan to come in, be interviewed by Cosell. And I am sitting, you know, a little below them and toward the end and an angle. And of course, you've got, you know, 45,000 people in Memorial Stadium out there. And the thought that came into my mind was kind of crazy. But I thought to myself, I am sitting in the line of fire of the two most assassinated men in America. So fortunately, everything worked out fine. But I mean, you know the crazy stuff that comes into your head and you go, don't say this. That was the case.
Cosell, did he really love being hated? Or it was something that he learned to live with?
I think everybody wants to be admired and respected and loved, I guess. And Howard did too.
Yeah.
But he knew how to deal with it. I mean, in a way, I mean, Howard, in sportscaster polls in that era, he would be the best and the worst. So, I mean, Howard was polarizing. Howard was different. But Howard enjoyed, to a certain extent, doing what he did. But Howard always felt that, I don't want to say the business was beneath him. He was more interested in actually doing news than sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he never forgave Rune Arledge for, at Munich in 1972, during the Israeli massacre, putting Jim McKay in the seat, where Jim would go on to, you know, win a news Emmy. And Howard was sitting off on the side. So he never forgave Rune for that.
Because, again, there was an annual poll for most liked, most disliked.
Sure.
And it had been held for years and years and years. And Cosell was the most liked and disliked. One year, my, you know, great friend and colleague, may he rest in peace, Stuart Scott, won most liked and most disliked as well. USA Today did some poll and he won both.
Really?
And I remember I went up to him and I'm like, you know, what do you think about that? And he thought to himself, you know what? The people who don't like me don't know me. The people who like me know me. And he just went about his business.
You have to.
But I think it definitely bothered him. There's no question about it. It definitely bothered him.
You're talking about Stuart.
Stuart,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, Howard knew that he was respected and admired by a lot of people.
Right.
And you know, he was a complicated guy, a hugely intelligent man, obviously. I worked with him for a number of years on Monday Night Baseball and a few other events. And at first, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was great. I mean, some of the greatest stories I have, it's a whole chapter in my book.
Yes.
Howard Cosell. I mean, I could have written 50 pages instead of like 18 or 19. toward the end, he grew tired of the business. He grew tired of a lot of things.
Yeah, the jockocracy he was talking about.
It was hard. And they, you know, Howard wrote a book. He wrote two books, but the second of which came out in 1985. And, you know, we're doing Monday Night Baseball. It's our year to do the World Series. I'm assigned to do the World Series with Jim Palmer and Howard. And Howard's book came out about 2 weeks before the World Series. And in it, I got niggled a little bit. I mean, he just gave me a little shot here and there. He was vicious with Gifford, and he was terrible with Arledge. So Arledge is his boss. And Arledge decided to take him off the World Series.
Wow.
And put Tim McCarver in there, which was, frankly, a blessing for me because I loved Tim. And of all the booths I've worked in, you know, a three-man booth is a little unwieldy and a little difficult, but I always felt that working with McCarver and Palmer, and we did, you know, three or four World Series together, All-Star games, playoffs, big Monday night games, I always felt that was the one three-man booth that worked better as a three than either of us would have been as a two, so which is very unusual. But anyway, McCarver for Cosell was a pretty good trade for me.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about remarkable batteries. I mean, Palmer and McCarver baseball, they're two of the greats to do it. And Jim's still doing Oriole games whenever I can listen to. I guess it's Masson there in the mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, Jim does about 80 to 100 games. Yeah,
pretty sweet. Now I got to take a break.
Sure.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Thursday night football schedule with the voice of Thursday night and Sunday night and Monday night from all the years that we've enjoyed listening to the great Al Michaels. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Back here on the Roku channel, our radio audience rejoins Al Michaels, still here. Every day, the book that you came in many years ago to promote, it's right there. There it is. You can't make this up. And that is a Reggie bar that was brought here by the man himself in June, Reggie Jackson. You must have had many moments in the booth calling games for Reginald Martinez Jackson. Well, work with him too, right?
I don't want to go back too far because we've already...
That's fine.
We're already wasting away and out to Cockerville.
No problem.
Right?
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
Right.
Reggie and I went to school together at Arizona State. I was a junior. So when I was a freshman, Sal Bando was my classmate. Rick Monday came the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reggie came when I was a junior. Reggie was a freshman. So I actually announced football games at Arizona State when Reggie played cornerback, just known as a defensive back in those years. So I've announced Reggie playing baseball and football.
College football.
And he was Reggie. Reggie was a partner on a lot of shows we did. He worked on a lot of, in fact, that World Series I was talking about before 1985,
mm-hmm.
Reggie was part of the pregame show with us. We did a lot of superstars, super teams
That's
together.
Superstars.
So Reggie and I go back a long, long way.
Superstars.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's.
Superstars, super teams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember all that. Yeah. And just seeing the Battle of the Network Stars with Howard Cosell.
Oh. Howard Cosell. One of the great lines Howard had, Battle of the Network Stars. He loved that because, he could play with all the celebrities.
Yeah.
And he's doing a race in a pool. It's out at Pepperdine, right? And Howard says at one point, he says, negotiating a kayak around a buoy is the toughest thing in the world. And that was Howard doing Battle of the Network Stars.
That's right. Al Michaels here. We're talking about Howard Cosell doing Battle of the Network Stars. Every now and then it'll show up on my social media feed, like mm-hmm. talking about a tug of war between, look at Telly Savalas. Yeah. Telly Savalas. Yeah. Here comes Robert Conrad. You know, like that's, oh my God.
He loved it.
I bet he did. All right, let's bring things to this season. Thursday Night Football, Prime Video, you, Kirk Herbstreit. Kaylee Hartung, my man, T-Man, is in the booth. He's in the truck. Mark Teitelman, incredible producer who's done a lot of games that I've been doing overseas.
For sure.
You know, with Fred Gadelli now in the hall.
Right.
Thursday Night Football, your first game, like, could put the schedule up, is a big one in the NFC, Philadelphia's home opener. Look at that one. Yep. The week after the Giants and 49ers, and then the Lions and Green Bay. That is a huge start with a lot of division playoff implicating action as well as some conference.
Yeah, I was excited action. When I saw the schedule come out because Minnesota, obviously Philadelphia going to the Super Bowl. And what will really be interesting, too, is they're going to come off their opener at New England.
Mm-hmm.
So they play the Patriots. We'll see where they are at that point. Minnesota should win their opener. I mean, they're favored, obviously, against Tampa Bay. And then the next week, you know, the Giants, it's great. Last year, we didn't have three teams on the schedule. We had 29 teams. The three we didn't have, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
wound up having a great year. The Giants wound up having a great year.
Eliminating Minnesota right. eventually.
And Detroit, which came on at the end and how it has now become one of the it teams. So we have all of those teams now back on the schedule. And it's a good way to open up. And I think the league gave us a better skip, at least at this from this vantage point,
yes.
Rich, because we don't know how this is going to work out in the end run. But at least right now, you look at those matchups, and down the line, you've got Cincinnati at Baltimore. They played that classic playoff game last year. There's a Black Friday game in the AFC, Friday, November 24th.
Huge one that is.
So that's.
I mean, look at the three in a row.
Miami at the Jets, right?
The run you got there with Ravens hosting the Bengals.
Right.
And then you've got
Black Friday.
Black Friday game after Thanksgiving,
right.
The Dolphins at the Jets. See, and then the annual game in which two teams that play on Thanksgiving then play the following Thursday, full complement of rest. Seattle, which has the night game on Thanksgiving night, visits Dallas. We all know Dallas has a game.
Right.
Look at the Patriots and the Steelers.
Right.
I'm telling you, that game will be, I think, some playoff implicating action for
it,
sure.
It could be. I mean, Pittsburgh, sure. All of a sudden, everybody, you know, is beginning to think that the Steelers, who, by the way, we have twice, too. We've got Tennessee at Pittsburgh on November 2nd, and then a month later.
Which is another new wrinkle that the league added, that
correct.
Multiple Thursday night games. It
correct.
Used to be like an orange wedge at kids at soccer
right.
games. Everybody gets one, and, you know, and that's it.
Exactly. No, we have Pittsburgh twice. Jets twice,
mm-hmm.
The Black Friday game, and then at Cleveland, and I think we have Chicago twice as well.
Right. I love Tomlin. What's it like when you speak with him in a meeting before a game, Al?
I love him too. I mean, we've been meeting with Mike since 2007. Got the job. He puts words together in a way that very few people do.
Correct.
And I've said it on the air. I said if I had a debate team, I make Mike Tomlin my captain. I just do. He, just the way he phrases things. Look, we've had, you know, I've had hundreds and hundreds of coaches meetings in my career, and most of the guys are really really good. Tomlin is special because just when he's talking about, let's say, instead of saying like a running back by committee or something, he goes distribution of labor. I mean, just his yeah. phraseology.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always get a kick, and I always, I mean, it's been, you know, through the years, and I got to do the Super Bowl that he won in,
yes.
in Tampa in 2008.
Madden's last game.
Oh, yeah, Madden's last game. Fantastic mm-hmm. game. They beat Arizona. But every time I walk into the meeting with Mike, I say, okay, write the open for me. Because I would always incorporate something that he said because it was so beautifully phrased.
Yes.
I think Mike is one of the great coaches in the National Football League, has been for years, and probably, I don't want to say, you know, I hate this thing about, you know, he doesn't get enough respect because who knows, you know, what anybody thinks of anybody else. But I think that he should be thought of on the very highest plane among the coaches in the NFL.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And the Steelers, you know, have a lot of late
yeah.
summer bandwagon jumpers, it appears, right
Never
now.
Had a losing season,
That's
Rich.
Right. I know.
Think about that.
I know. And Steeler fans who are kind of tired of hearing that because they're waiting for another mm-hmm. Lombardi to be placed in the case. But then again, honestly, I mean, three coaches in 54 years, and there's a reason for that.
There's a reason.
They know what they're doing there in Pittsburgh.
And by the way, putting a Lombardi in your trophy case, let's say every team was even. The odds of putting that trophy in your case are 32-1.
Right.
Law of averages say you should win 3 Super Bowls every 96 years. So the Cowboys won 3 in 4 years, which is why, you know, they haven't won any since.
Right. And Brady's the tendency breaker.
Right. Exactly.
Who's the, who would be, if you will, your Mount Rushmore, meaning 4, of all-time broadcast meeting conversationalists, period? Quarterback or coach? Who would you put on all 4 of those?
Well, Peyton Manning, for sure. I mean, Peyton is right up at the top.
Why? Because he would share, he would tell you stories. Would,
but just his analysis, the perception. I know that Madden loved being in a meeting with Peyton. Peyton would see everything. Peyton could tell you who the practice squad guys were on the opposition, just in case they got elevated, and know everything about them. Aaron Rodgers is great. Because Aaron is, he's just engaged in everything. And once in a while, Aaron is interviewing you more than you're interviewing him.
For what? What do you think?
Well, because he wants to know where you're coming from as well. So, and he's a very curious, he's obviously very curious, extremely well-read, and interesting. And we find him to be, I love meeting with Aaron. Brady was great too. Tom was, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, Belichick could be fine in the meetings too, but you could only go so far. And then Brady might come in and go a little farther for you.
Is that right?
Well, he would, yes, yeah. I mean, especially as the years went by, you know, Tom was opening it up and he knew. And also, I think, having done this as long as I have and having worked with Madden all those years and Collinsworth, there was a trust factor.
Oh, yeah.
With us too. So they could go to certain places with us that they couldn't if they, you know, were doing another game with a crew that they didn't know particularly well or for the first time meeting with them. So those guys, it should be no surprise that Rodgers, Manning, and Brady would be among the best. We go back to Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay, fantastic, fantastic. I mean, Sean McVay, to me, this is one of the most amazing stories in all of my years covering the NFL. He is 37. He is still the youngest coach in the league. In his 7th year, Rich, as you well know, he sent 4 guys to head coaching jobs. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He has a Lombardi trophy. That's astonishing. And the fact that I give, you know, Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff and Les Snead get so much credit for hiring him at the age of 30?
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 30? How's that working out so far?
Well, the NFL is just an amazing thing because, you know, to back in the day when NFL Network had Thursday Night Football.
Right.
I did a game up in Seattle and trying to get back here for Friday morning, Rams kind enough to throw me on their team plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thursday night that we went up for was the one they had just fired Jeff Fisher, and they started Jared Goff in his first game.
Right.
And to say he got his rear end handed to him is an understatement. It was a rough night. They had just fired their coach. They had no, like, their number one overall selection had just gotten a baptism by, you know, the 12th man fire.
Bones Fossil was the coach.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And it was a bleak moment.
Right.
And those Rams on that flight home, the management team, you know, clearly had to be staring out the window, wondering what's happening. What's happened? What's happening? And they're now in Los Angeles. They're trying to find the right combination. I believe that was after Todd Gurley had just called their offense a high school offense as well. It was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that organization was about, at that point, 6 weeks away from hiring Sean McVay and instantly becoming the team that everyone wanted to copycat. And nobody on that plane would have believed that if I had told him, hey, don't worry, 6 weeks from now, you're going to hire a 30-year-old, and he's going to be great, you're going to be brilliant for hiring him, and the rest of the league's going to want to do what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And they would be like, get out of here. But that's how quickly the NFL can flip, Al. It's unbelievable.
You know, with the two coaches we just talked about, so when Tomlin got the Pittsburgh job and wins the Super Bowl in his second year, and then around the league, everybody's saying, find me the next Mike Tomlin. And that went on for a while. And now it's find me the next Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, you talk about having known these guys and having meetings with them and talking about the best guys in me. And there are a bunch of them. Andy Reid, terrific. You had Andy on in the first hour of the show. But these guys, they're so good because they're so smart. And they're revealing to the extent that they know what they can trust you with. And that's what makes for, you know, a great meeting. Because it's so helpful to us to know the things, not only that we can talk about, but can't talk about because we don't know enough about it.
Because you don't want to go on the air and say something that you should know the background information that kind of holds you back from saying something and going there,
right,
for the lack of a better phrase, that you shouldn't.
Right, for sure.
And that's why Tomlin, and a couple of the two times that I've had conversation with him before a game, he will be honest. He'll say, like, we're not playing that guy right now. He doesn't have it.
Right.
You know, and he'll just say that.
That's always
been the case. We know in the meetings, we're not going to go on the air and Mike Tomlin told us this guy's bench because he, quote unquote, doesn't have it.
That's true.
But it does inform how you're going to broadcast the game.
No,
it's helpful beyond.
Oh, you know? Beyond question. I mean, Mike Shanahan was the same way, too. Loved the meetings with Mike because it was, you knew what you had to know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knew where you couldn't go to. Because he might say a couple of things to you where you might think A, but he's saying this is B, and you can't. But you won't go to what you might have said if you didn't have the information
correct that
they talked you off of.
Love it.
Yeah.
Before I let you go on your Tuesday, sir.
Tuesday? I have nothing to do. What are you talking about? I'm here. I'm the third hour, too.
Your Super Bowl. Yes. By the way, we're not kicking you now. We're not kicking you out of here, Al, by the way. Your Super Bowl prediction.
You and I, we've talked about this a lot.
Yes.
My mantra is nobody knows anything.
That's right? True. Yes.
Which also can be turned around to say that everybody knows nothing.
Okay.
So, look, I'm not predicting anything, but what I'm saying to you is that this year, maybe more so than in a lot of the previous years, the two teams that got there last year look poised to get there again. I would not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast to last year, if I sat here and went, the Rams are not going to go back to the Super Bowl because they lost too many people. They beat Cincinnati, but you knew that last year the Rams were going to be a long shot to make it back. This year, Philadelphia looks really good. Obviously, Kansas City looks really good. The Super Bowl is still 5 months away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't want to make a prediction, but, you know, you can make a prediction and go, oh, I think Carolina is going to meet Tennessee. I mean, and all of a sudden, if it happened, people would go, wow, that guy's a genius.
Yes. And then we'd replay that video over and over again.
Over and over, right?
Just think about
it's like a guy who makes a great stock pick, right? And then makes 83 horrible stock picks, but they go back to, or his PR firm says, you know, hey, look at what he just did in 1987. This is like us right now. I mean, do you realize what did we cover? We covered like six decades.
We did. That's what
five decades, whatever it was.
You are one of one, sir. And I always appreciate you coming on here and being part of this. Anytime.
I love this setup here.
Thank you.
This is fantastic.
We gave it a little spit and polish.
And Brockman's still here, right?
Yes, that's right. Brockman's still here. And so, what did you call Mike Del Tufo when you sat down?
He is the Fred Norris of the Rich Eisen Show.
I take that compliment out.
Fred, of course, does the sound effects for years on Howard Stern.
And it's off the charts. Fantastic. And TJ Jefferson, part of our crew.
TJ, there you go.
And you also
What does TJ stand for, by the way?
Go ahead.
Too jiggy.
What does it stand for?
No, but tell him what it really it stands for.
My real first name is Temujin. It was Genghis Khan's real name, so that's what my dad named me after.
That's what it stands
Temujin.
For. Temujin. It's not like Tommy John.
No.
I'm all into TJ.
There you go. Hawkinson. Very good. That's right, Hawkinson. And then again, you know, we have a new podcast set. I know, you know, Amy Trask and Susie Schuster are going to be.
Oh, baby, look out.
Look out for your.
Look out below.
They're circling a date for you to maybe stop by and be a guest their new pod.
So oh, baby.
Thanks for
that could end my career, you know.
It will not. They will take care of you. It's called What the Football. Okay. Good to see you, Al Michaels. Thanks
again. As always, Rich.
You bet. Al Michaels getting set for another season, giving us new memories right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with your phone calls. Everybody on hold. We're going to take your calls when we come back. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
There's somebody on Twitter, and it could be Bob, @real_BobCostas. Then you read the Twitter bio, and you begin to think something could be up. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, Rich. Late last night, and then again this morning when I woke up, dozens of texts, some claiming it must be real, some saying this can't be true.
Yes.
And one said, this is the best indication that hell has frozen over since the 04 Red Sox or the 2016 Cubs. But I am here to assure you and everybody else,
yes,
that the fires of hell are still very much blazing, because I am absolutely not on Twitter. They have taken the bogus account down. And I began thinking, you know, what would I have to do before I ever deigned to be on Twitter? What? Like, binge watch The Real Housewives of Orange County, make a return trip to Sochi just for the nostalgia of a Pink Eye episode, star in a sequel to basketball, or just for you, Rich.
Yes, Bob.
Make a special trip to the NFL Combine. All those things will happen before I'm ever on Twitter.
Okay, so this is the real Bob Costas. We can confirm that now.
Yeah.
Twitter needs that.
Oh, my gosh. Your son tweeted it out that this is not you.
When I saw the first screen grab that Keith sent to me,
yes,
one tip-off should be, look, I'm a reasonably humble and self-effacing guy.
Yes.
But would I knowingly shortchange myself 7 Emmys? Like, I couldn't even get the number of Emmys right.
Exactly.
I said that. I said 21 seems a little light.
You got to pull a scam. Get your ducks in a row.
That's one of Bob's greatest moments, I think, ever. Certainly in the history of our program. Back at the Rich Eisen Show desk on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with our live Roku channel stream. It's furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I mean, does it get any better?
We could do 3 hours of that. It's funny, when I was in college, we went to school with a kid in our broadcasting and did our TV with. His name was Adam Hardgrove.
Okay.
And he thought his last name was too hard to pronounce. It would get just jumbled on the air by his colleagues. So he changed his last name to Michaels. We're like, oh, you mean the most famous broadcaster of all time?
Maybe
like,
you'll get a gig out of it. Uncle Al.
Pretty funny. He's just like, oh, you're Adam Michaels now. Great.
Uncle Al. There's no one like him, man. All right, Chris, you're going to choose. Everyone's been hanging on for, since the beginning.
Okay, who haven't we done yet?
I don't believe we've done a Falcons one. We haven't.
All right, so let's do it.
All right, he's been waiting as long as everyone else. Joe in Florida, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Joe?
How are you, Mr. Eisen? How are you doing today?
I am doing well. It appears you would like to play the win-loss game for the Atlanta Falcons. Is that a true story, Joe?
Yes, sir, and I'm probably going to be the most rational of all the fans when it comes to playing this game because I'm looking a little bit more analytical.
Okay, so but that said, Joe, I mean, you're not from Georgia. How do we know you're really a Falcon fan, Joe? How can you prove this to me?
The very first game that I ever watched when I became a Falcons fan was the 1998 NFC Championship game when Morten Andersen's left foot sent us to the Super Bowl, of which we lost to the Denver Broncos in John Elway's final game.
Okay, but you stayed a fan all the way to this day. Chris, is this would Sarah give the check mark to this gentleman?
It passes the smell test.
All right, here we go. Mike Del Tufo, please hit it. First up, Atlanta Falcons are hosting the Carolina Panthers. What do you have for me?
I do have a win for our first game against Carolina. Give Bryce Young his welcome to the NFL.
Okay. Joe, I'm just going to need a win or a loss out of you. Okay, here we go. Green Bay at home. What do you got?
That's a win.
At the Detroit Lions.
I'm giving us a loss.
Taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Wembley.
With Ridley playing, that's a loss.
That's 2-2 against the Houston Texans.
Hammer the over, Atlanta win.
Hammer, I love you.
3-2, home for the Commanders.
Beat the Commanders.
That's a 4-2 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Revenge from last year, a win.
5-2 at the Titans.
Give us a loss.
Oh, that's Arthur Smith's homecoming right there. 5-3, home for the Vikings.
Two-game losing streak.
5-4 at the Cardinals.
Big win.
6-4 coming out of the bye, home for the Saints.
I'm going to give us a win at home.
7-4 at the Jets.
I would love to give you this stat, Mr. Eisen, but it's a win for Atlanta.
Oh, 8-4, home for the Buccaneers.
I'm going to give us a win again. I'm going to say we sweep Tampa.
9-4 at the Panthers.
We lose in Carolina.
9-5, home for the Colts.
Guaranteed loss.
Okay. Wow, okay, so we're 9-6 at the Bears.
Give us a win.
10-6 at the Saints.
And we finish with a loss.
10-7, says Joe in Florida. Thank you, Joseph. 10-7.
10-7.
I've picked the Falcons to win the division, so I think that 10-7 wins this division. Certainly if they split with the Saints. And they did he have them? How did he just have them doing in division? They split with Carolina,
and then swept,
and then sweep the Bucks. That's 4-2 in division.
That's pretty good.
10-7 overall. That's a playoff team right there. Beating the Jets at the Jets. Okay, we'll see that one. I don't know. Arthur Smith loses to the Titans.
Yeah.
And how about that one? I did not see. That's a sneaky one on the schedule. Calvin Ridley versus the Falcons. He gave them
in London.
He gave the Jaguars the win there that Ridley's going to torch him. And Doug Peterson will feed. He will feed on that day.
I think you can bet on that, Rich.
Man, I wouldn't, though. If you're Calvin, I wouldn't.
Oh, I was doing
vacation.
Look at you guys. Can we just turn the page?
I don't think the page shouldn't even have to be turned.
It's preposterous.
He did nothing wrong.
Hour number three, we've got another Hall of Famer. Andy Reid was hour one. Al Michaels, hour two. Freshly minted Hall of Famer and national anthem singer, DeMarcus Ware, will be joining us on Zoom. By the way, great band, two live Zooms. We've had two of them today.
Two.
They're fantastic.
Nice.
Two live Zooms here in El Segundo. One night only. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, still on Roku.
A little cleaner lyrics from Two Live
Zunes. You think
Zunes.
So? Two Live Zunes?
Oh, we are Two Live.
Okay. Actually, hold on a minute. We've got somebody who's just called in. Can we take somebody who just called in over people that are waiting 2 hours?
I know, but they...
Oh, that's...
We haven't done that yet.
Hold on a second.
Or we can take line one.
No. Line one, we haven't had one yet either. I don't think we've had one for line five either.
That's what I mean. They just called in.
We're going to fill a lot of holes in hour three. Overreaction Monday, right? So we're going to have a lot of talk in hour number three. That's how we roll here. Well, the NFL season starts in 2 days.
We're back,
Are you aware of this?
We're back.
Are you aware of this? I'm aware. Were you aware of this? Like in 2 nights, we have an actual NFL game that counts. It's a big one.
Two more sleeps.
Trying to line up all the pools and your fantasy teams.
When you say pools, what do you mean by pools? Like you're talking about a 10-foot
Thinking about survivors.
You're talking about Jeff Probst? What are you talking about?
There's a lot happening mentally, the bandwidth.
I don't know what you mean.
How deep is the pool?
Take the Ravens this week, people. What?
Over Houston? That's the one?
Safe.
Stay away from Clayton Tune.
Stay away from Tune.
Stay away from Jonathan Gannon. He's nuts.
Stay away from Kirk Cousins.
He's nuts. There's something about him.
That's what I mean.
Like, he's like that guy you don't go up to in a bar.
Stay away.
Just don't engage him.
No.
Because when you take the bus,
don't engage him.
You don't know what he's doing behind the scenes.
Not at all. He's taking a bus or he's driving himself.
Yeah. One of the two. Fire's in the gut, though.
Oh, something.